Well, this morning we will be talking in this part of the show about bikes and about cycling. And as I said at the beginning of the program, bicycles are a great form of transportation. They're good for you. They're good for the environment. But there are things that as a cyclist you have to keep in mind, as a motorist you have to keep in mind, and maybe also something that people who do urban planning have to keep in mind as they think about where the traffic goes and all the different people who are using the streets. So this morning in this part of the show, we'll try to talk a little bit about both these things, safety and also planning. And we have two guests here in the show, in the studio with us. Gary Zico, he is chair of ChampaignCountyBikes.org, which is an organization that's interested in trying to make Champaign County as bicycle friendly as possible. And you can go there and find out more about them. He's also an emeritus professor, right? Of educational psychology in the College of Education here at University of Illinois. And also here in the studio with me, Cynthia Hoyle. She's a transportation planning consultant. She has a number of years of experience in areas including pedestrian and bike planning and mobility-oriented development. She's a League-certified instructor with the League of American Bicyclists and a complete streets instructor with the National Coalition for Complete Streets. She also chairs the CU Safe Routes to School Project, and she's here with us in the studio, too. So questions are welcome as we move here through the hour. Questions, comments are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. You know, one of the things I really want to mention here at the beginning, because I think it's just a great sort of piece of news, and maybe people in Champaign-Urbana wouldn't realize it, is that if you take a look at the United States and take a look at communities where there are a lot of people who bike to work, someone has now looked at the numbers. Nationally, less than 1% of Americans ride their bikes to work. But there are some communities where the percentage is much higher, and among the, and here in Champaign-Urbana, we're among the top 15, which is a great thing.
That's right.
And it, I think it's maybe interesting, not surprising, that a lot of these communities are college towns where the levels of biking to work are so high. What is it that makes for a community that's that lends itself to that? I mean, why Champaign-Urbana and not someplace else?
Champaign-Urbana is a more compact community than many places. The major employer is in the center of the community, the University of Illinois, and it, the community has maintained its core neighborhoods and its grid street structure. In addition, the community has been better about maintaining streets as modes of transportation for all users. Having an excellent transit system is a foundation needed to encourage bicycling for people who might want to bicycle to work, but if it starts raining or snowing, put their bike on the bus and head home. So our Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District is a key component and is a bicycle-friendly business with the League of American Bicyclists. So the planners, the cities, the university, the transit district, and the people who live in the community have all expressed this interest in having the ability to walk and bike and use transit and all forms of transportation. And all the planning processes that are done in the community, the public comes in and says, we want to have choices in transportation. So you have to design the streets, and the land use also has to work to allow people to be able to get to destinations on bikes.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to turn to Gary because I think that there are some people who might say the thing you'd like is if you could design your streets and your community from the beginning with that in mind, to make sure that you're careful about how all the various forms of transportation come together, to make sure that there's a place for bicycles, there's a place for pedestrians. But if you already have an existing community, that's pretty tough. I mean, do you really have to rebuild the streets for something like this to work?
Well, not really. I mean, Champaign-Urbana has pretty good connectivity. So this is a major advantage that you can get from one place to another without necessarily having to go on super busy streets or arterials. There are a few places in southwest Champaign where the connectivity is not as good as it should be, and some changes would be good to be, you know, be made there. But for the most part, you can get around. We have a Champaign-Urbana area bike map, bicycle map, and we highlight on that the best routes to use to get around town. And you can sort of just see from looking at that that it's really quite well set up. It's a grid system for the most part. Some of the newer communities, you'll find little pockets of subdivisions, and the only way to get from one pocket to another is to get on some very unfriendly streets or more intimidating streets, which can be done and can be done safely, but it doesn't really encourage people to use a bicycle for that. Yeah. So we do have an advantage. We're compact. I talked to somebody who lived here, went to school, and then moved to Madison, Wisconsin. And Madison, Wisconsin is known as very bike-friendly. He said he liked it better here because we are more compact. He said it's hard to get from one side of Madison to the other because it is more sprawled out. And so we have some major advantages. We're flat as well, which really
doesn't
helps.
Hurt.
And you know, one thing I want to point out that people don't think about necessarily is that in terms of the scenery, people say Champaign County is not terribly exciting for scenery. But when you get out into the country, we have roads all over the place. When you go to scenic places, like when I go out to Oregon and California, visit my kids, and I get on the bike, they're beautiful places to see, but the roads are fewer and far between. You're on busy roads on a shoulder with trucks and things whizzing by. And here, you can go out of town and along the rivers, out to Homer Lake, out to Mahomet, Allerton Park, places like that. And it really is first class for getting out of the city and cycling mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So this is a major advantage we have and we're trying to let people know about.
And the bike map that you mentioned, that you have that on your website.
Right, and it's for you can find them at the libraries, many places on campus, the bike co-ops,
Illinois Terminal.
Yeah, they're free. We mm-hmm. need to update that, I suppose, this year because there's been so many changes in terms of the bike infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So, but it's still a very useful map, and we may revise that this year.
Well, are there some things that you could point to specifically that the cities have done in terms of making, say, changes or improvements to infrastructure that have helped?
Absolutely. When I moved here, there were no bike lanes in the community, and both cities now have bike plans. The university has a bike plan, and they have been doing what we call the five E's, engineering, education, enforcement, encouragement, and evaluation, and Gary likes to add in equity. And all of those E's are things that the League of American Bicyclists looks at when they when people and communities apply for bicycle-friendly status. The city of Urbana is a bronze-level bicycle-friendly community. The city of Champaign is a bicycle-friendly business, bronze-level. MTD, as I mentioned, is a bicycle-friendly at silver level, and the university just got awarded a bicycle-friendly university at the bronze level. And those can be a fairly rigorous process in taking a look at what are you doing? And you have to do things in each of those categories. You can't just install bike lanes and not do education or enforcement or encouragement. So the cities have been working on installing infrastructure. They also have been doing a lot of education with Champaign County Bikes. They've been supporting Bike to Work Day every year. Both cities work with Safe Routes to School to help children be able to walk and bike to school. The law enforcement community has been working with us. So there has been a lot of effort by a lot of partners. And there's a lot of educational activity going on as well that's supported by the cities and the university. And I'll let Gary talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have something coming up next week, actually, as part of a Sustainability Week at the University of Illinois. We'll be doing the first part of a It's called Cycling Savvy course. This is a course. This will be the three-hour classroom session, which will be November 2nd, 6:30, at the ARC, the Activities and Recreation Center on campus in the auditorium. And so we're trying to get people to come to that. And in that, we'll provide the knowledge that's needed for safe cycling. So we'll be looking at what the law says. We'll be looking at as well what are the aspects of bicycle safety. What are the things that get people into trouble and how to eliminate those or lessen those risks? And then we'll also be looking at specific traffic solutions from how to get from here to here with according to how the roads are set up and the safest way to do that. And so that'll be done on next week, November 2nd. So anybody can just pop in on there or go to cyclingsavvyillinois.notlong.com, and they can go there and see what that's all about. And then we're following up that with the on-bike sessions on November 12th. That'll be a Saturday morning and afternoon where you get a chance to train your bike, as we call it, learn basic bike handling skills and hazard avoidance skills as well. These are something that even very competent cyclists or people who have lots of experience don't often practice, and they should. So the three-hour train your bike will give them opportunity to do that, and then we do a tour of Urbana where we get a group of cyclists and we go through various features on the road and show them how to do that in the most safe way. We try to find places that may be bottlenecks, a little bit more intimidating, and show how you can cycle through those safely and with confidence.
This morning in this hour of focus, we're talking about bicycle safety and also some of the things that city planners are doing to make their communities more bike friendly. We have two guests, Gary Seco. He is chair of ChampaignCountyBikes.org. And if you go to their website, and that's what it is, ChampaignCountyBikes.org, there's lots of information about cycling. And also here in studio with us, Cynthia Hoyle. She's a transportation planning consultant. She makes her home here in Champaign-Urbana and has quite a few years of experience dealing with issues like pedestrian and bicycle planning. So if you have questions, comments, certainly you can call us, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. You can also email if you'd like. That's will-talk@illinois.edu. By the way, I just want to get into a quick mention here, the fact that we're also raising money to support programs on the station. This is our fall pledge drive. And we're doing that so that we'll have the money in the bank that it will take to pay for next year's programs. We want to make sure that we have the show there, this show and other shows you appreciate, when you turn the radio on. We've set this goal. We hope during the course of the drive we will hear from 1,200 people, and it's winding down. We'll be done tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So if you haven't yet done that and you've been thinking about it, this would be a great time to do it. You can call at 217-244-9455 and make your pledge that way, or you can go online. Go to willpledge.org and make a contribution that way. Either way, it's an investment in a service that you use and value, and the dividends are the programs that you hear every time that you turn on the radio. We have some callers here who would like to join us for the conversation. So again, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And we have two who start us out with somebody in Urbana, line number one right here. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for this program. I think it's very timely and significant. I'm very concerned about the safety of bike riders and also just cars and pedestrians. I see bicyclists doing unsafe things and not acting according to the rules of the road. You know, and then they switch from the road to the sidewalks. You know, so even my daughter on the U of I campus has to worry about being hit by a bicycle. I'm beginning to strongly feel that you really need to even have a license to drive a bicycle if it's considered a vehicle in the state of Illinois.
Well, I appreciate the comments of the caller. Let me get some response, and particularly to this, and I'm sure this is a frequent complaint. It's a complaint of drivers. Sometimes it's a complaint of pedestrians. I've had that experience too, as I walk a lot, having to share the sidewalk with people on bikes. And that is this basic idea that cyclists, if you're riding on the street, you are required to follow the rules of the road, the same rules that people in their cars are supposed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And cyclists may, you know, you want don't want to make a broad indictment, but there are a lot of people who ride bikes who don't. So talk about education, Gary. I mean, how do you get people to do that?
Yeah, well, it's a challenge. We are making efforts to do that. We have an information campaign that we have been putting out, signs and about riding on the right side of the street, lights at night. The two main things there really are for safety is predictability and visibility. I mean, mm-hmm. So you are predictable when you're following the rules, and that's a major safety factor for all around. The traffic system breaks down when you can't predict. And when you have a cyclist who is not observing the rules, you can't predict what's going on. Everybody is less safe. So that's really important. The other side of that, though, is that cyclists often don't really realize what their rights are. and motorists often don't either. So, for example, on most roads in Illinois and in most states, cyclists have a right to use the entire lane, just like any other vehicle. It's first come, first serve. Now, when there are special facilities and the lane is really wide, we expect them to share side by side. But share a road really means, you know, typically one after the other. And so cyclists often don't know that, and so they do this kind of sidewalk edge behavior, and they feel that they're outside of the law. And what's interesting about it is they actually, if they were realize what their rights were as well as their responsibilities, they could get along safe more safely and easier than doing what they're typically doing by going all over the place and jumping up on the sidewalks here and there and jumping off again. And that's one of the things that we'll be talking about in the course. We spend about an hour looking through the specific laws in Illinois and what that means for motorists and cyclists.
Yeah, and I should say that if a cyclist is on a sidewalk, they are to follow the laws as a pedestrian, and pedestrians have the right of way. So someone who's going 20 miles an hour does not belong on a sidewalk. They should be, they're a vehicular cyclist, and they should be in the road. Mm-hmm. But there are people who are uncomfortable in the road who want to ride on the sidewalk. There are places where riding on the sidewalk is a fine idea. There are other places where it can be pretty hazardous, where there are a lot of driveways intersecting with it, and there are people are not expecting to see someone coming as fast as a bicycle is toward an intersection, so they may not see a bicyclist. And so you cannot bicycle up to an intersection and whiz across expecting that a motorist will have seen you, because they're expecting, they're looking for pedestrians and pedestrian speed individuals. So they do need to follow the rules of the road and the rules of the sidewalk. One thing I would like to throw in there, though, is that there has been a national study done, and it has shown that cities that have higher bicycle use have lower traffic crash rates of all types of crashes. So having more people on bicycles and more users of the road in different capacities slows down traffic and reduces not just the crashes for bicyclists, but also for motorists. So there's a benefit to this. The other thing that we should also keep in mind is that Champaign-Urbana has an envious commute of 15 minutes to work here, and that's in part because there are so many people using other modes of transportation. Mm. We in Urbana, we've got like 35% of the people are using a bus, walking, or biking. And if all those people were driving instead, we would have a traffic jam. So we do need people to follow the rules of the road so everyone can be safe, but we need to share the road among all those users.
One other thing that confounds me in terms of planning is, like, on Goodwin Avenue on campus, they have car lanes, bike lanes, and buses all crossing, you know, like a maze. And to me, it's just an accident waiting to happen. And I don't know why anybody would put bikes on lanes where cars and buses can be making turns, right-hand turns. I don't know if you've seen or witnessed those kinds of intersections.
Yes, in fact, the remake of Goodwin Avenue into Complete Street is a nationally award-winning design and has increased safety on Goodwin Avenue. It does require that people learn how to share the road. The bus operators at the district here all go through special training on sharing roads with bicyclists, because campus has a high rate of bicycling and an enormous number of pedestrians. So it is difficult to drive on campus, but what I tell people is when you drive on campus, you're in a school zone, and you should always drive like you're in a school zone, because it is full of pedestrians and bicyclists and buses.
Oh, yeah.
And if everyone is going at appropriate speed and following the rules, it is safe to share the road. You will notice as you approach an intersection that the bike lane becomes dashed lines, and that is an area for merging. So if you're going to turn right, you need to merge over to the right so that the bicyclist knows your intention to be turning right. And the motorist then needs to look also for the bicyclist. So it's exactly like with a car. If you want to move into the right lane, you look behind you, you see if there's anybody there. If there's not, then you merge over into that lane and you turn right. And so it's the same behaviors that have to occur.
Well, I want to thank the caller very much.
Thank you. I have
some other folks I want to get to. Just very quickly, I want to ask, particularly I want to ask Cynthia, since you're a planner, I guess there might be two ways to accommodate bicycles. One would be to, on the road, to have a bike lane. The other would be, if you had the opportunity, you could make your sidewalk twice as wide or three times as wide, and you could have a bike lane on the sidewalk and have it clearly marked so the pedestrians would be in one area and cyclists would be in the other. As far as planners are concerned, does one or the other of those things seem to be better?
Cyclists are safer in the street because they are faster moving vehicles, and putting them on the sidewalk with pedestrians typically does not work well. Pedestrians wander into the bike lanes. That happens here all the time. And so having them in the street is more effective. Now, there are separated facilities on streets in some locations that many bicyclists do like a lot. There are still some design issues with those in terms of intersections that we have to work at, but they're being tested in Washington, D.C., and in some cities in California and in Portland. And as we advance in our design, just like we've spent the last 50 years designing roads for cars, and Europe has done a lot more with bicycle planning that we can take a look at. But cyclists are safer in the road, and we want to make sure that the space is understood as bicycle space or pedestrian space if it's an off-road facility. If it's a multi-use path, then pedestrians have the right-of-way.
But just quickly add to that, I'd say probably 90% of the streets in Champaign-Urbana are fine as they are because they're quiet residential streets, and they connect well with each other.
That's right.
And there are some things called bicycle boulevards where they try to make those residential streets even better by turning stop signs around and discouraging through traffic called bicycle boulevards, and that even enhances that type of a network. So we really have it, you know, pretty good here in Champaign-Urbana with the streets that we have.
Okay, let's talk with somebody else in Champaign. This is next, line two. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
I have pledged. Okay.
Well, good. Thank you.
You can pledge again.
And I did, actually. So I have a few issues. I'm in my late 60s, and I still bike. And my biggest problem with the things you're talking about is the fact that I cannot lift my bike onto the bike racks on the bus, and the bus driver is not allowed to help. So that option is not open to me. Now, if those bike racks would come down, like the steps into the bus come down for wheelchairs, then I could use them. So you might want to think about that if you're planning with the MTD. Then the issue of sidewalks. There are places in this town where I feel I would be taking my life in my hands to drive in the street, to ride in the street, particularly if I'm going up to Marketplace Mall or to North Prospect. I live on the west side of town, south of Bradley anyway. And when you're crossing the interstate, those cars come up Prospect like they're hell-bent for election, and there's no way I'm willing to ride on the street there. Shared lanes or lanes in the street. Now, my preference is when I ride on campus, there are places where there's a clearly marked bike path and there are clearly marked sidewalks, and I prefer those except for the pedestrians who, as you said, wander onto the bike path where they do not have right-of-way, and they act like they're in the middle of a lawn. I think the best design is the one we have on Wright Street, where there is a small sidewalk, I guess you could say it's about 2 feet wide, that separates the bike lanes from the roadway. So there is a sidewalk, and then there's a street level, so depressed from the curb, say 6 inches, double bike lane running north and south, and then there is about a 2-foot-wide sidewalk, and then there's the roadway. And I think, for my money, that's the safest, because then both the pedestrians and the drivers realize that this is a different mode.
Well, let's get some. Thank you for the comments. I get some thoughts from the panel here.
Well, first, I would like to say that women are the indicator species for bicycling. Women bicycle at lower rates than men. Women are more cautious about bicycling. And there was a national survey done that thousands of women responded to about bicycling, because we know that women are much less likely to be out there bicycling. And why is that? And it's for the reasons that the caller just articulated. And she's absolutely right. Trying to cross the interstate on most of our overpasses is a terrifying experience as a pedestrian or a bicyclist. And that's something that we have been talking with the State Department of Transportation about, is we rebuild overpasses to provide those spaces. The overpass on Curtis Road has a very wide shoulder, so that is a place that you can cross. Going to North Prospect, if you're uncomfortable with that overpass, I would recommend using Market Street. It's a lower volume road and provides a little more safety. In regards to what she said is what about the bike lane on Wright Street, that design is substandard by current standards. And one of the problems that we have with that facility is that when the bicyclists come to the intersection of Green and Wright, they do not know whether to cross as a pedestrian or as a vehicle. And the vehicles there never know whether the bicyclist is going to cross as a pedestrian or a vehicle. So as Gary said, there's no predictability. People do not know what to do, and it creates a hazard for everybody. So that's a classic example of a facility that we need to redo and take a look at the design. How can we design that to be safer? But as she said, that's the kind of facility lots of people want, where they are physically separated from both the pedestrians and the motorists, and they feel safer there. And that's the kind of infrastructure that's being tested in some locations.
But, I mean, I would add to that, those types of infrastructure, they create challenges and difficulties of their own, because you still have to cross traffic at the intersections. Mm. And when you're way on the right and the traffic right turning across you, this causes problems. So they're doing things like special phasing, special signals for the bikes, and they're trying to get around this. But it can cause a problem. And I think one of the things that cyclists think is that by staying way over to the right or getting away from the traffic, they're going to be safer. Actually, when they're further out in the lane, when they're acting more as a vehicle, the research shows that they're actually more visible, more predictable, and safer. Mm. People have a fear that they're going to get run down from behind. And in cities, that's very, very rare. They're more likely to get sideswiped by a car trying to squeeze through the same lane, which wouldn't happen if they were out controlling the lane. And that's one of the things we teach in the Cycling Savvy course as well. But you do need to get some education to see how that's done and to feel confident doing it. It's just not something you're going to learn on your own.
We're talking this morning about bike safety and the kind of the things that planners keep in mind as they're trying to make their communities more bike friendly. We'll talk some more in a moment after a short break. This is Focus.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is at sousaarchives.org.
Good morning. This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. We have different topics for you every day. Some things that we think are useful, some things that we think are educational, instructive, always opportunities for people to call in and make comments and ask questions. And we do it every day commercial free. Because people like you who are listening now are also financial supporters of the station. This is our fall pledge drive, and we are actually winding down here. We have less than 24 hours left, and we really want to hear from some people this morning. This will be on Focus. This will be, well, one more day after this. No, wait a minute. What day is this? This is Tuesday. This is the last this is the last day on Focus we'll be doing this. Jeff Bossert is one of our reporters. He's here in the studio with me to help get the message out there.
We have 521 pledges to go. If you'd like to support Focus, biking, or bird watching in the next hour, Like David said earlier this hour, if there's something that you're not so interested in, there's a good chance something else that comes up in one of the hours. There were 9 other opportunities to find something you're interested in. For 30 years, David Inge has brought you a range of guests from topics from science fiction, home repair, cooking, gardening. Occasionally, guest hosts come in and talk about things like, oh, say, baseball. Somehow I always end up doing shows on that. I don't know why, but 217-244-9455 is the number to call, or you can pledge your support online at willpledge.org.
We sit here in front of the microphone a couple times a year because it's the best way to get the message out. There are people who have loyally supported us and don't need more than just a little reminder that it's time to renew. But there are people who listen and have not, for whatever reason, have not supported us. So that's why we're here, is to get across to them the importance of their support as well. What we'd like to do is have some contribution from everybody, if that was possible, at least as many people as possible, people who are supporting the programs they value. So it's here. So not only are you keeping the show on for yourself, but you're keeping it on for a lot of other people as well. We cannot continue to rely on the same folks, no matter how generous they are and how sturdy and stable and constant, to meet the rising costs of operating the station. So that's why we have to grow the base of support. And that's what we're trying to do here. And that's why we set these goals and say we'd like to have so many people. And that's really the important thing. I think it's the people goal that we're going after, trying to get as many people as possible.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, you know what you can afford, but we love to have, love to hear from new cities. We love to hear from people who might call into the show now and then. We love to hear from people that hopefully picked up something they can use in the week, whether it was how they bike to work or maybe a tip on using the computer, a cooking tip when Doyle Moore comes in. Wide variety of things every week, every day on Focus. 244-217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
Yeah, just real quick, I also want to mention something that special we have as a way of saying thanks. We have various kinds of things to do that, and we wanted to have something to acknowledge the fact that we've been on the air 30 years. And we thought, well, let's see, we really like writers and we like books and we like to read, so maybe a bookmark would be a good thing. We figured people have enough mugs and tote bags. So we had this special item made up. It's very nice. It's a leather bookmark. It won't put too much of a bump in your book when you put it in there. And it's something a little special that we have to commemorate our 30th anniversary. If you can make a pledge of $75 and you'd like to have one, we'd be very happy to send it with our thanks. So to whatever level you pledge at, the important thing is that you call us or you go online, 217-244-9455. That's the number. Or you can go to willpledge.org and make that contribution.
Pledge your support for Focus, and hopefully you're enjoying the program and picking up some interesting tips along the way.
All right, very good. Well, let me introduce again our guests for this hour. Gary Zico, he is chair of ChampaignCountyBikes.org. And if you go to that website, you'll find out more about the organization. They're interested in making Champaign County the most bike-friendly county in the Midwest. That's what their motto is. Also here in the studio is Cynthia Hoyle. She's a transportation planning consultant. She has more than 30 years of experience and working in areas like traffic calming and pedestrian and bike planning and mobility-oriented development. And we're talking about what can be done to encourage people to ride, to educate them to ride safely, and also some of the things that cities like Champaign and Urbana are doing to try to make their communities bike friendly. So 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too. It's will-talk@illinois.edu. And here we have some more callers.
David, before we go to the caller,
yes,
I would just like to issue in a challenge to all the bicyclists out there. Please call in and support our public radio station. I've been a supporter since I moved here 10 years ago, and I'm a huge fan of our public radio and television station. So all you bicyclists, get online, get on the phone, and support our public radio station.
Just think
station.
Of all the money you're saving on gasoline by riding your bike, and you can send some of that over here. And that's one of the arguments that's made for biking, is it keeps more money in the local community. And so cyclists can save a whole lot of money on things like insurance and gasoline and car maintenance, and use that to actually go to the local art scene and support local businesses. And that's actually
been public radio.
And public radio is one of those things that make our community what
that's
it is.
You just did a pledge break. That's a thing of beauty. That's a bonus. Let's go on and talk with some folks here to line number one in Urbana. Hello.
Yes, hi. I'd like to address right turns in Copenhagen, which has an enviable biking rate of 37%, and they're trying to move to 50%. When you go for your driver's license, they test you on bicycle safety when you're driving your car. As an example, if you fail to pull completely over to the right-hand lane after you've watched all the cyclists pass to make your right-hand turn, you automatically fail, and you automatically fail if you fail any part of the bicycle safety issues when you're going for your driver's license. So that's a really great way to educate people. And in Germany, when you're in the fourth grade, you get trained to ride bicycles in the schoolyard on the concrete, even in the inner cities, and they have a police officer dressed like Mr. Rogers testing you, and you get a little bicycle license when you're in the fourth grade. And the best designs for bike lanes I've seen, again, is in Copenhagen and Amsterdam, where they have a curb between the street and the bike lane, and the bike lane and then the pedestrian lane. And, you know, not two curbs on each side, but just one, so it bumps up one, and it's easy to do snow removal because both these places get lots of snow. And sometimes they also have a different type of material on the road, and it makes people feel safe then, so there's more masses of people riding bicycles, and then you feel safer in general with the masses when you're trying to follow, you know, all the car traffic rules and the bike rules. And on another note, I had some friends a year ago come with their bicycles from Pittsburgh, and unfortunately they were really disappointed. They stopped riding their bicycles here because they felt it was one of the most unsafe and un-user-friendly bicycle city they've ever been in. I was disappointed to hear that, but I understand that. And I'd also like, you know, as a suggestion, I've looked at the bike master plan and the bike routes, and, you know, it would be really great if we could have a vision where we could, say, start with Springfield Avenue and completely forbid parking on Springfield Avenue from east to west, and have complete bike lanes on each side so bike riders can go down a main artery instead of being detoured. And, you know, feel safer that way when you have a dedication for bike lanes on each side and put those single curbs in to make it feel safe. And I think Springfield would be a great place to start, and perhaps Prospect Avenue, narrowing it down to two lanes, making the lanes very small for cars and bigger for bikes, and you'd get the ridership going up and up and up on bikes. Okay. Thank you very
well,
much.
Well, I thank you. There's a lot there, and whatever that you'd like to respond to.
Well, Gary and I have both been to Copenhagen. I lived in Germany for a while.
I never made it to Copenhagen.
Oh, you never? No. Okay.
We were going to. We didn't make it.
They've been very methodically for 40 years building a bicycle-friendly community there, and they also build it to not be car-friendly for local small trips. So you are encouraged, if you're only going a few blocks by the street system, to use your bike or to walk. Mm-hmm. So that's refitting of infrastructure that takes a lot of time and money, and we have been working on that here. And what she mentioned about narrowing down lanes and adding in bike lanes is called a road diet. We've done that here on Philo Road and on Lincoln. Green Street was a road diet that did not include bike lanes. That was before we had started putting them in. But it takes time to refit a community, and I think that if you have our bike map and you use it to move around the community, it's a pretty bicycle-friendly location to bike. One mistake people make sometimes is they will try and use the routes that they drive, and if they're not a vehicular cyclist, then they're very uncomfortable on those busy streets.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to point out, though, that by some studies, bicycling by hours of use can be twice as safe as riding in a car. And that's surprising to a lot of people. And this, when you consider that these are bicyclists that haven't had any special type of training, and if it's by hour, you know, half the risk of being in a car. And then when you think of what can happen if you really know what the trouble spots are and what the hazards are and eliminate those, bicycling can be made very safe. So I'd say that a knowledgeable cyclist and come to the course next week to become one can be very safe in this town. And I see acts of courtesy all the time with people, motorists letting bicyclists through, and really good vibes. Occasionally, there's somebody who says, get on the sidewalk or something silly like that. But for the most part, it's a great place to cycle, and it's safe, too. So do it.
Well, that's we talked a little earlier about cyclists and them knowing their responsibilities and following the law. It seems that whenever we have these conversations there, we're going to hear two things. We're going to hear the cyclists who say that the cars don't respect us and don't acknowledge the fact that we have a right to be there. And then we hear from the drivers who say, well, cyclists, they don't follow the rules. They're riding the wrong way. They're riding the wrong way on one-way streets. They don't stop for stop signs and stoplights. They weave in and out. They do dangerous stuff. So they're each is saying, you know, the problem is here, it's the other guy. We did talk about cyclists. What about drivers? I mean, what message do you think the drivers should have about sharing the road with cyclists?
Well, to know that bicyclists have a right to use the road. It's first come, first serve. And in almost all situations, that means being able to use the entire width of that lane to operate safely. And in that way, they are more visible and they run into less trouble at intersections as well. Another thing to keep in mind is that cyclists have these rights and they have the responsibilities as well to observe these rules, and it actually works out much better when everybody does this. I think when people say share the road, sometimes motorists get the idea that cyclists need to be off to the side and let them through. And where it's possible to do that, courteous cyclists will certainly do that. But there are situations where that is not safe. And then a sort of a final thing related to that is, it slipped my mind. It came back to me. But it was the notion of where they'd be safe. No, it's gone. It'll come back in a couple of seconds.
Well, one thing I would like to add in there is that the city of Portland has been installing a lot of bicycle infrastructure and saw a significant decline in traffic fatalities. And the head of the Centers for Disease Control hailed Portland's decline in traffic fatalities as a public health triumph. Mm-hmm. The public health community very much wants to see people have the opportunity to use active transportation. And so for motorists, I would say, think about the fact that the people who are bicycling are reducing congestion on the road for you. They are using a form of transportation that does not put wear and tear on the road. They also are reducing health care costs and environmental impact. And so we should be happy to see them there. Bicyclists do need to follow the rules, but motorists need to follow the rules as well, and that includes sharing the road.
We're a good team. That's exactly what had slipped my mind. I was trying to pull it out. You know, and also the more cyclists, the more parking is available for motorists.
That's right.
So there may be, you know, 5 or 7 or 15 seconds a motorist may have to wait in some situations to get around a cyclist safely, but there are other advantages that compensate for that. And it is not cyclists that cause congestion and delay in traffic. It's other motorists because cars take up so much space. And so motorists might think about the benefits that they're also getting, even if they don't cycle.
We're growing short on time. We have maybe 3-4 minutes. I have a number of callers. I have some emails. I know I can't get everybody, but at least I want to try to get a few more. The next in line is line 2, I believe, and that would be Champagne. Hello. The caller there, line 2. Okay, how about let's go to line 3. That is Champagne, I think. Hello. Yes, go ahead.
Hi. There's some places on campus that it's, like, and stuff where there's bike lanes, bike paths, but, there's bike paths, but the marks on them are so old that that a lot of pedestrians can't see the marks, and they'll just use them as if they're a sidewalk.
That is correct. There's an interesting history on the University of Illinois campus. I had a nationally famous figure come here, Dan Burden, he said he was very excited to come back because it was the first campus in the country to have a campus-wide bicycle system back in the 60s. But it was by 60s standards. It's now a substandard system. There is a plan to upgrade it, and you're correct. Those are not well marked. In some places, they're way too narrow. And so pedestrians do not realize that those are bike paths. And so as a bicyclist, you need to say, you know, on your left, ding your bell, whatever, so that you do not crash into them. And I would also like to encourage people to wear helmets. My husband's here at the University of Illinois, and he had a crash on one of those paths that needs to be upgraded and was knocked unconscious, and he was wearing a helmet. If he hadn't been wearing a helmet, I don't know if he would be here. So I recommend that people take a look at their routes, decide what is safest, wear a helmet. And the university is working on upgrading its infrastructure. There are places where it's not up to speed.
Yeah. I want to get an email here because I think this is also something that hasn't come up, and I think it's a good point to make, where the person writes, "My biggest issue with riding a bike where I want to go in Champaign-Urbana is lack of bike racks or quote-unquote legal bike parking at the majority of public places like stores, malls, etc. What's being done to increase the number or creating places that is safe for me to park my bicycle?"
We now have ordinances in both cities requiring bicycle parking for any new business. But they're absolutely right. There was not in the past a requirement for that. And so there are in some places a lack of parking.
Okay.
But typically I'm able to find some place to park a bike. That's the advantage of having a bike. I mean, there are street signs and places where you can do that.
I recommend that they talk to the business owner. I did that at my pharmacy, and they put a bike rack in.
Okay. I'm sorry to say that we're going to have to stop because we've come to the end of the time, and I have some callers we can't take. It's an issue definitely I think we should have some more conversation about, so we'll try to make sure that we do that. I'm sure that you would want to remind people again, Gary, that you're going to be doing this program, this Cycling Savvy program, next Wednesday, November 2nd, on the campus,
right.
And it's free. And you'll do things, like review what the law is, what your rights as a cyclist are, safe riding, right. And so forth.
Right. Anybody who's serious about using a bicycle for transportation or recreation should be there and take advantage of this opportunity supported by the university.
Okay.
And two more opportunities for education. The Bike Project, there's a campus bike project, and then the Bike Project in Urbana. They offer some classes. I am offering a class with some other LEAGUE certified instructors next spring through the Urbana Adult Education program. So we're trying to provide this education, but we need more funding for education.
Look at cubiking.org, and that's a master calendar of all our bike organizations, Prairie Cycle Club, Champaign County Bikes, and the Bike Project, and you can see everything that's going on in our community related to bikes at cubiking.org.
Okay. And there, I'm sure, and probably other places around the community, people can get the map we've mentioned that right. Sort of maps out routes, so if you do want a bike and you're looking for the best.
And the rules of the road
are on there. Best way to do it. Okay. Cynthia Hoyle, she's a transportation planning consultant. She makes her home here in Champaign-Urbana. And also here in studio with us is Gary Zico. He's chair of ChampaignCountyBikes.org. Hey, thank you both.
Thanks for having us. It was fun.